listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
We're in the middle of Turn It Loose, and tonight is the breakthrough service. There's a few of these a year. It's the fifth Wednesday night of the month. And how many are ready to get after it tonight? I'm excited. Luke 15, verse 11, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger said to the father, 'Father, let me share in your estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger one got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and squandered his wealth on wild living." Verse 14, "After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine that hit the whole country, and they began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out for citizens to that country. So he went out into the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods from the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." Verse 17, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And I'm starving to death. I will set out, go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and I have sinned against heaven. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father." The title of this message tonight is Repent Like Crazy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we declare that your word is the highest authority, so we submit to your word. Let it be a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. Give us ears to hear what your spirit's saying, hearts to receive, minds to understand. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Do what you do, show off. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen and amen. For those of you who are here on Father's Day, I use the same text. And tonight I'm going to be ministering on it, not from the father's perspective, but from the son's perspective. I've been traveling around the nation, and for those that don't know, I'm an evangelist, and that's what I do full time. And so that's why I'm here, just here and there. But every time I'm in town, I'm here. This is our home church. And the Lord gave me a word that I've been ministering on around the nation on giants. And for the Turn It Loose series, we're allowed to just, Pastor Chris just said, hey, whatever's in your heart, whatever's in your spirit, just don't hold back. That's what he told me when we were spending time together this week. And I had planned to come and minister on giants. This is the word that has been stirring in my spirit. Last night I went on a prayer run about 10 at night, and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and said, don't preach on giants, preach on repentance. And so I haven't preached this anywhere. This is in a polished sermon that I travel with. I believe that this is a right now word for your life. The prophetic word over this house is 2016 is the year of what? Jubilee. Last week was the six months into this year. Pastor Chris on Sunday preached an awesome message reminding you of the seven promises of the year of Jubilee. Freedom, restoration to your family, year of increase, debts, justice, safety, and blessings. This is the promise, the seven promises for our lives. This is the prophetic word. Someone say prophetic. That's weak. Someone say prophetic. The prophetic word is the year of Jubilee. Now, but this is very important. Just because something is a prophetic word does not mean it's a guaranteed word. A prophetic word is an opportunity for you to align your life with the perfect will of God. That's what it is. So when Pastor Chris comes and brings a prophetic word, it is not guaranteed, watch, that you're going to be debt free. It is an opportunity for you to step into that prophetic word and align your life with that prophetic word and God's perfect will for your life. Are you following me? Yeah. So here's how my mind works. I want everything that God has for me. So I want his gifts. I want the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. I want everything, signs, wonders. If God says I can have it, I want it. And then he says to knock, seek, and ask, and he'll be given to you. So I want everything that God has. But at the same time, I want to make sure I'm not doing something that is hindering what God wants to give me. Are you with me tonight? So if it's the year of Jubilee, then I don't want anything to go on in my life that hinders these seven blessings and these seven promises. Are you with me? So I was on this prayer run, and I'm telling you, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, preach on repentance. So here we go tonight. It's a fun word. Everybody loves this. Repentance. What does the word repentance mean? It means this: to change your mind. When you change your mind, it changes your purpose. That's powerful. After you change your mind and you repent, you literally think differently. Repentance happens in the mind first. It happens in the heart. And when you change your heart, when you change your mind, then your actions begin to change also. Yeah. Hear this. Repentance is not in your words. Repentance isn't just in a quick sorry. Repentance is, I used to think one way, but now I'm thinking a completely different way. I used to have a heart that led me this way, but now with repentance, I'm going a completely different way. Not only is repentance a change of mind or heart, it is actually one of the primary themes of the entire Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, the theme of repentance is used 110 times. Now, my wife repeats herself to me quite a bit when it's important for me to remember something. Does any other men in the room have selective hearing at times? And when God repeats himself over and over, it means it's important. 110 times repentance is mentioned in the Bible because it's a primary reoccurring theme throughout the Bible. And not only that, but it was the very first message or sermon preached by Jesus. In Matthew chapter 3, we all know he wanders out into the wilderness to be tempted. PowerPoint guys, you're right with me. I'm going to 4 next. He goes out and he's tempted. He goes through the wilderness. And as soon as he goes through the wilderness of temptation and meets the devil, he comes out and he starts his ministry. And the first thing Jesus preaches is on repentance. He told them to go out and he began to preach in repentance and that the kingdom of God was to come. Not only that, but all throughout Jesus' messages, repentance kept coming up. In fact, in the famous Sermon on the Mount, when he's teaching on the Lord's Prayer, he teaches, even in when our prayer life, when we're praying every day, when he's telling us how we should pray, it goes on in verse 4, and forgive us of our sins as we forgive others. Yeah. In the Lord's Prayer, right after you declare the kingdom of heaven or God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the very next part of the prayer is teaching us that we should be repenting daily. This is how we should be conducting our prayer life. Not only that, but it continues as a continuing theme in Jesus' ministry. Luke 3:8, he says, you bear fruit or much fruit by keeping with repentance. Church, I've heard a continuous teaching that goes on, and it's linked with a hyper grace or an unbiblical grace message that you don't need to repent anymore, that you don't need to repent because Jesus has already forgiven you. Well, that's true. He's forgiven you in the future or in the past for your sins in the future, and forgiveness is applied when you repent in the present. Repentance happens, or forgiveness happens, at the moment repentance is done. And that's where that grace, that's where that forgiveness is applied. But I'm hearing around the nation all of this teaching, and you turn on junk on Facebook, and people will tell you, you don't need to repent anymore. Then if that's the case, then why did Jesus teach us when we pray to repent? And that we're supposed to keep with repentance. This is a powerful thing. But for some reason, repentance has become an ugly word. Repentance has become a religious word. Church, there is nothing religious about repentance. It is powerful. And what I feel in my spirit is that it could be one of the things that are keeping you from the seven blessings, the seven promises of this prophetic word of Jubilee. I don't want anything hindering what God has for me. Come on, hear this. I don't want, I'm trying to minister this. I feel it so strong. How many, you don't have to raise your hand, but just agree in your hearts. How many believe in for restoration in your family? Yeah. Repentance might be a part of that. Come on, hear it. How many want the divine outpouring favor, blessing of the Lord on your life? How many want him to open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you might not have room for it? Then repentance might be a part of that. Pastor friend who I mentor, a young guy, young youth pastor, called me up. He said, Landon, I'm really going through a hard time financially. And he was telling me about it. And I just asked him, I said, bro, are you tithing? And he said, no, I'm not. I can't afford to tithe right now. And I said, so let me get this straight. You want me to pray and ask God to bless you when you're stealing from him? Now, I wouldn't talk that way to you. We don't talk that way to church people. I'm just saying how I'm talking to another pastor. I mentor this guy. He's asked for this, you know. I said, so how are we asking God to bless you when you're robbing from him? And he said, I'm in sin. I said, bro, you're in sin. I said, you need to repent to the Lord. I said, let's get this on track. I said, let's start obeying God and ask him to bless you. This guy calls me 6 months later. He said, Landon, you not believe what has happened in my life. He said, I just got a job. I got a $30,000 raise. $30,000 raise. He's like, I have never been at this place. We're buying a house this summer right now. We've never been at this place. He goes, I knew it happened when I repented. I knew it happened when I got that one area. Guys, this is a minister. Are you with me? When we think repentance, we think of one of the hardcore major sins. You know, it has to be an addiction or it has to be a major life-altering thing. Here's the thing. Jesus tells us to keep with repentance because the little foxes are the ones that spoil the vine. It could be the smallest little thing. Even standing in worship tonight, I leaned over to my daughter and I just said, hey, sorry for being harsh with you earlier today. I was doing something, studying, preparing for the word. When children ask you something 100 times in a row and you're like, what? You know? At least I do that. I just leaned over. I said, baby, I'm sorry for daddy being harsh to you. She just put her little nose and wiggled it in me. Because I don't want anything hindering what God wants to do in this message tonight. We don't like talking about repentance because that means that we have to be a little uncomfortable. That means we might have to use a little humility. That means that we might have to discipline our flesh. Or even worse, that means we might have to change. Come on, somebody. Because the moment we begin to repent to people, then all of a sudden it's been spoken out. All of a sudden there's an accountability to it. And how many know church folk don't like accountability? We love to quote, don't judge me. We love to say, you know, stay out of my business or don't tell me what to do or who are you to judge me? We love saying that. Because we don't want accountability, when truly accountability is how iron sharpens iron. That's how we stay sharp. When you're in a life group and you're at the gun range or doing whatever you girls do and hanging out and all of a sudden your life is, there's an area that is not biblically aligned. Maybe it's a word that came out or a thought process or something. And that's where someone in a life group or a friend can kind of challenge you, but not challenge you to pin you or make you bad or put shame on you, but say, hey, this is what the Bible says. And I think there needs to be a little alignment here. Come on, has anyone ever been to the chiropractor before and you didn't have full movement? And as soon as they realign you, all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness. It's like after you got off a 17-hour flight to Mumbai or Portugal or wherever you guys stopped. Dubai. Where all of a sudden that movement's back. See, we don't like the word repentance because we're afraid of what it means. Guys, it's so important you understand this. I felt like Daniel was just prophetically preaching my whole message in his exhortation. But repentance truly just means relationship. I used the scripture when I was preaching on Father's Day weekend. Romans 8 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor principalities, or the present future, nor any powers, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. But when majority of people quote this scripture, they're using it to back their lifestyle. So they want to say, I want to be able to be a jerk and nothing will separate me from the love of God. Come on, somebody. I want to do what I want to do. I know scripture completely rejects what I'm doing, but I want to live how I want to live. I want to do what I want to do. I want to say what I want to say, and nothing's going to separate me from the love of God. But there's a problem with that theology. There's a problem with that doctrine. And it's this. Romans 5:8 says he loved us when we were dirty, rotten sinners. Yeah. Come on, are you following me? Watch. He loved you before you first repented. He loved you before you gave your life to him. He loved you before all that nonsense. When you were lost in sin, he loved you. So, but what we think is that we can come to Jesus and then continue to sin and nothing's going to stop him from loving me. Of course, nothing's going to stop him from loving you. But your actions will determine relationship. Church, it's not about does he love you. He loves you. He died on the cross. He proved it. That ship has sailed. He's proven that. The question is do we love him? When we love him, we're in relationship. Come on, somebody. See, when we love God, we want to be as close to him as possible. It's not what sins can I not do. Pastor, is it okay for us to do this? Can we live together? What if we're sleeping in different rooms? What if we're doing this? What if we're doing that? Well, if I do this but don't do this, and is it okay in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and where's the line? And Pastor, is it okay? Can I? No music yet. Just wait. I'll call you. No music yet. Chill. Pastor Daniel gave me 5 more minutes. It's not about what are the parameters. It's when you're madly in love with Jesus, everything changes. It's not about what I cannot or can do anymore. It's not about rules. It's not about religion. It's I'm madly in love with Jesus. And when I'm in love with Jesus, all of a sudden I start repenting like crazy. Because when you begin to repent, watch, a lot of us think shame. You're going to have to admit what you did, and you're going to have to be transparent, and people are going to think this way of you. But the truth is when you repent, it allows you to come closer. Had this young girl reach out on Facebook, and she says, Pastor Landon, I need prayer. I said, hey, have you gone to one of the girls in your tribe or your youth group to pray, to get prayer? And she said, I can't. I said, why not? She said, I'm pregnant. 6 months. I feel too shameful. I'm going to be judged. I said, or you'll be loved. The enemy will tell you, if you made a mistake, you're going to be judged. And nobody's going to want to be in relationship with you. But the truth is when we come to the Father and we repent, he doesn't shun us. It's exactly what Pastor Daniel was talking about. There's no shame involved. It doesn't matter what it is. But when you come and repent, he doesn't push you away. He welcomes you. All throughout the Bible, when you're looking at Jesus healing these sinners, these broken people, all of them had a heart of repentance. And in that moment of repentance, Jesus didn't reject them. He welcomed them. He loved them. Like Pastor Daniel said, I'm coming to your house, Zacchaeus. See, repentance doesn't push you away from God. It brings you closer to God. So watch, the enemy doesn't want you to repent. The enemy doesn't want you to repent to your spouse. The enemy doesn't want you to repent to your children, repent to your family member, repent to your Christian friend. So he'd rather have you just not go to the life group ever again rather than just repent. Come on, somebody. He'd rather have you just stay in that place. But when you repent, it brings you into close relationship. All right, Aaron, play that guitar. Here we go. Closing with this, Luke 15. The prodigal son sinned. The prodigal son made a huge mistake. He ticked off everyone in his family. And here's what the Bible says. Look at, remember we said repentance is a mind change. In verse 17 of Luke 15, it says, when he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, all of a sudden his heart and his mind said, wait a second. I had it way better when I was going to church faithfully. I had it way better when I was planted in that life group. I had it way better when my family was whole. Before I let gossip in, before I let an offense in, before I let lying, deceptive spirits in, before I entertained them, He said, I had it so much better with my father. He made a decision. I already preached that on Father's Day when he was a long way off. His father saw him coming. Watch. He said, maybe I could be a servant. Shame. Maybe I could be the lowest person. Shame. I wonder if they'll let me serve again. Shame. When his father saw him coming, repenting, he wasn't thinking servant. He was thinking son. He said, get the ring. Get the coat. Slaughter the best calf. We're having a party. Here comes my son. Church, every time you repent, whether it be the littlest thing or a big thing, that's what Jesus is doing. When he sees your mind begin to shift, when he sees your heart change, when he sees you coming from a long way off, even before you get to an altar on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, when he sees you coming, he's got the ring, he's got the robe, his heart is ready to embrace you, not as a slave, not as a servant, but as a son. Why? Because repentance brings relationship. Closing with this. We're living in Phoenix. And I was so frustrated with where I was in life. Has anyone been there before? And particularly with my finances. I've been tithing since I was 3 years old. And we got to the place where we're extending our faith and believing God and believing God and it wasn't happening. Believing God, it fell through. Believing God. And you finally get to a point where you begin to double think believing God anymore. Anyone else? Putting your faith out there and it didn't happen. Putting your faith in, and we were, it felt like we were in a rut. We couldn't break through and we were barely making it and living by faith around every corner. I'm like, Lord, I thank you, you're providing, but I'm believing you for so much more. And it's not about money, but it was about what I was desiring to do. The media, the television, all the things. And I'm sitting on my couch and I'm frustrated and I'm venting with the Lord, which is really just complaining. And I hear the Lord speak to me so clearly. And he said, you serve mammon. And I was offended. When I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me, I was offended. And I told him, I said, I've been tithing since I was three. And the Lord showed me a vision of a scale. And one was a miracle and one was money. And he said, Landon, you keep telling me that you need a miracle or money. The Holy Spirit said, you're in sin. Because money is an option when you just need me. This is very personal to me. I was saying, God, I need either this amount of money to do this television show, or I need you to do a miracle. And I would respond to whatever one answered first, when I really should have said, God, I just need you. And however you want to provide, I'm cool with. The Lord said, you're in sin. I literally dove to the carpet. I put my nose into the carpet. And I begin to repent like crazy. I said, I'm in sin, Lord. I'm tithing, but I'm in sin. I'm giving, but I'm in sin. Because I'm not trusting you like the way I should. Because I'm not believing you. Listen, church, maybe you're not addicted to something, but maybe you've been disobedient. Maybe you're not have some major issue, but maybe the Holy Spirit impressed you to do something and you haven't done. I don't know what you're dealing with tonight. I don't know where you are with your walk with the Lord, but my heart's burning tonight is I want all seven blessings that the Lord has for you. I don't want anything hindering God blessing you, you, your family. I'm going to read them again, all of these. Freedom, restoration to your family, increase, debts forgiven, justice, safety, and blessings. I don't want anything to stop that. I felt the Lord speak to me. Say, tell him to repent. And I don't know what you have tonight to repent of. But here's what the Word of God says. Last scripture and we're done. Says this, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. Oh, I feel you, Holy Spirit. As some understand slowness, instead he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Would you stand to your feet all over this place? I was on a prayer run a few months ago, and I heard the Lord speak to me. And he said, begin to preach on repentance, and you will see healings. That's what I heard. Begin to preach on repentance, and you will see healings. This is the first time since the Lord spoke to me running in the middle of the night on Baghdad to preach on repentance. I believe tonight, Pastor Daniel already said it. He said about everything. Tonight, God's going to heal somebody. I believe as you repent, whatever's been blocking blessings, miracles, favor, healing is going to be removed. There's no shame. There's no religion. Jesus said, I want everyone to come to repentance because I want them to receive the promise I have for them. With every head bowed and every eye closed, is there an area that you need to repent of tonight? Worship team, just start singing that song. Let's sing that chorus that we're closing with. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anything tonight that you need to come and bring to this altar? Maybe you need to repent to a person. Maybe you haven't honored God with your finances. Maybe there is a stronghold, an addiction, something you're bound with. Maybe there's a habit or behavior. I don't know what it is. But it doesn't matter what it is. The only thing that matters is right now, Jesus is running towards you. Right now, Jesus is coming towards you. His heart is open. His arms are open. He has a ring for you, a robe for you, a party for you. I believe he wants to bless your night, life. And I just pray right now, those blessings that are prophesied by the apostle of this house to begin to come to fruition in everyone's life. Tonight, whatever it is, I want to invite you. Come on, band, begin to play. We're just going to go into a next season or a moment of worship. And I want to open these altars tonight. If you want to come kneel, you can kneel. If you want to stand, you can stand. Whatever you want to do to be comfortable tonight. But I want to give you an opportunity to begin to repent and ask the Lord to bring you into close relationship with you. Come on, church, if you feel led, if you say, I need to repent of anything, come down to this altar. Come into relationship. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name, let nothing hinder us from relationship. Nothing hinders you. I pray nothing will hinder us. Father, on this breakthrough service, Father, I pray there'd be breakthrough in our hearts, breakthrough in our lives, breakthrough in our families. Father, I pray, God, nothing would hold us back. Father, let us throw everything off that entangles us tonight. And let us come boldly before the throne of grace. We declare thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Come on, let's worship. Oh, what amazing love.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or